Glad you're with us here on ESPN Chicago. Soren Petro, my friend from Sports Radio 810 WHB, joins us from Kansas City because the Bears have their GM. It's Ryan Poles. He was escorted by George McCaskey right through O'Hare Airport, and he's the new guy for the Chicago Bears. Soren joins us here on Cap J Hood on ESPN Chicago. Soren, thanks so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So, as you well know, what's happening in Chicago, the Bears need a new GM, a new head coach. So, Ryan Poles, who worked with Kansas City in the front office, what do you know about Poles that we should know?
Listen, the people I've talked to and a little bit I've been around the guys there, the Chiefs usually work more from, one figurehead for the coaches, Andy Reid, one figurehead for the front office, and Brett Veach. But always kind words have been said about Poles, that he's organized, he's process-oriented, he's pro-analytics, which I think is important in the modern age of managing a sports team, and a very good evaluator. The topic of the Chiefs rebuilding an offensive line, which has been one of the big stories here in Kansas City throughout the year, I brought that up, and somebody said, well, that's a Ryan Poles feather. Like, basically, Ryan Poles, was the guy that was behind that. They traded a first round pick and other picks in a package to get Orlando Brown at left tackle. They paid big money for Joe Tooney, but then they got in the draft the best center in football and Creed Humphrey in the second round, and the sixth round, a guy who was first team all rookie at guard in Trey Smith, and a draft pick from the year before, Lucas Niang, until he blew out his patella tendon at the end of the season, had him playing right tackle at a high level. They completely rebuilt five starters on the offensive line, their biggest weakness, and did it in a whole variety of ways. And I think that was kind of the final, piece of the puzzle for people to go, okay, number one, this organization's ready to start, shedding leaves to other teams, and these are the guys that were really instrumental and hands-on in doing it. And so I'm not surprised that Poles got the job. And I hear that the Bears outbid the Vikings to get him.
Yeah, I think that's why George McCaskey, that thing went viral, by the way, Soren, where McCaskey went to O'Hare, went inside, and walked him back to the car. So he wanted to make sure that Poles was locked in. So in any good organization like Kansas City, Soren, it's always a collaborative effort, right? It's the GM, it's people that work in that front office to come to a consensus on free agency and the draft. So you mentioned some of the hits. Are there any major egregious misses when it comes to Poles? Because he's part of that process as well.
Yeah, no, there isn't. The Chiefs have been pretty good, in the draft and in free agency, at least getting production out of, their guys. They're pretty tight-lipped about thing we're going to get out about, well, this was the guy who was really behind this draft pick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire went number 32 overall to the Chiefs in the first round. He hasn't really lived up to what a first-round running back is, and there are a lot of people that would say never take a running back in the first round. I know that came down to really the Chiefs wanted to move down in that draft, and when Jordan Love, when the Packers moved up to get him, then there was really no one to trade down with, so they were left to make a pick at 32, and they took the best pick that they thought they could. But, they've had some great picks, like L'Jarius Sneed in the fourth round is a guy that could really play corner or safety, play inside or outside corner. He was a tremendous pick in the fourth round. Gay Jr. has played great football at outside linebacker, had some problems off the field, obviously, here in the last week or so, but has been a great pick in the second round. This year's second round pick, Nick Bolton, has been a tremendous middle linebacker for him. I mentioned the offensive lineman. They've done a really nice job, and I think this year's draft was kind of the final piece of the puzzle for people around the league to say, okay, they really do know what they're doing. It wasn't just they got a great offensive mind in Andy Reid and they got lucky with a quarterback. They've had to turn this salary cap over. They've done a nice job of managing the cap. Poles has clearly been around that and been able to wedge in big pieces when it looked like they didn't have enough cap room, be able to massage that cap and keep things going, but also not winding up in a spot where you're ever in a position where you got to cut four or five of your main guys. So, I think he's had a great education with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it will work. I remember, the Chiefs brought in, Scapioli from the Patriots, who was like a 3 or 4 or 5-time executive of the year, and that didn't work because he hired the wrong coach in Todd Haley. He put his money into the wrong quarterback in Matt Cassel, and he blew his first-round draft pick that was number 3 overall on Tyson Jackson, and he was never able to recover from those really the first 3 decisions he made as a general manager. I think it's going to be really important to get the quarterback right, that his field's the guy, to get that right, get the coach right, and make sure that he can work with him, because that was one of the poison pills for Scott Pioli was he and Todd Haley were immediately at odds and really never had a shot, either one of them, of making them Kansas City.
So, Soren, speaking of coaches, Eric Bieniemy, his name has gotten cold as far as the head coaching search. It's not as hot as it was maybe at the beginning of the process for some of these teams. So would Poles talk to Bieniemy? And if he doesn't, what does that say for Eric?
Yeah, I've asked that question, and people get upset, you know, when I ask that question. It's a sensitive subject, and rightfully so. The NFL's made it a sensitive subject by not having enough coaches of color in the league. And so, you know, everybody has a strong opinion about it, and nobody wants to hear their opinions wrong. But I think this is you know, his resume is complete. He's done everything he needs to do to be a head coach. But if 9 coaching jobs, now with the Saints job opening up, say no this year after 7 jobs said no the year before and however many said no the year before that, I think you'll have to conclude that while the resume is complete, there's something that owners don't like. And I think you'd be a fool to say it's 0% the color of his skin. I find it impossible to believe that, you know, 31 old white guys, you know, are just somehow that comfortable with a black head coach when they consistently pass them over and fire them after 1 year or after winning seasons like we saw with Brian Flores. So I'd hate to say that I wouldn't say that it's 0%. But I think it's clear when you get passed over that many times, if he is passed over, that there's something else that's missing. There's some, you know, talk of some off the field problems in his days at Colorado that's been brought up, and you know, he gets dinged for not calling the plays, although Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy didn't call the plays in Kansas City either. You know, but I think you got to come back and say, you know, maybe the guy doesn't interview well. I know he's not the best in front of the media in Kansas City. He's gotten a lot better. Like his first year when he was interviewing for jobs, I was like, there's no way they're going to hire this guy. He struggles to handle media questions. He's gotten a lot better, but he's still not the best. And it's possible that he just doesn't do well in the interviews. And that doesn't mean he can't coach. You know, I was told the story that Dungy was awful in media or in ownership interviews. And that's what kept him from getting a coaching job for so long. When he finally got it, he proved that he could certainly speak to players, right? And I think that's what owners have to do. They have to get better at understanding that the idea isn't to wow you. The idea is to wow a team and to lead a team. And Eric Bieniemy's given a lot of credit for that. But, you know, if he gets passed over again this time, and on the record, Andy Reid said, I think he's getting a job this time. And he's not said that in any other year. So Andy Reid seemed to have some confidence he's going to get a job this year. But if he doesn't, I think it's clear there's something missing that certainly owners in the NFL are looking for.
Lastly, Soren, I appreciate your time. Matt Nagy in Chicago, are you surprised that it didn't work?
Yes and no. Again, you know, I'll go back to what I said about Scott Pioli. Who's your quarterback? And when you're the coach, you know, who's your quarterback? What do you do with those high picks? Considering you're taking over a team that's not good. And, you know, those high picks, a lot of them got traded for Khalil Mack. Not that he wasn't a good player. You know, that raised expectations. You know, I've always defended, you know, how Kyle Shanahan wasn't under a little bit more heat when he'd been to 1 playoff. Matt Nagy had been to 2. Now, granted, he didn't go to a Super Bowl like Shanahan did the one time he'd been there before this year. But it seemed like it was certainly not a level playing field in how those two were evaluated. But getting the quarterback right is the most important thing. I've seen guys be successful here as head coaches. Dick Vermeil, first thing he did, trade for Trent Green. Gave up a first-round pick and got the quarterback position right. Andy Reid came to town, traded 2 second-round picks for Alex Smith. He got back position right and then got it even righter, for lack of a better term, when he got to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it all started. That's the most important thing, and that's what, you know, Poles is going to have to do. That's what whoever coaches is going to have to do, is make sure they got the quarterback right. What you hope, obviously, as a Bears fan, is that the quarterback's in place. They just need the guy to coach him.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess the big concern already is will Poles use the Kansas City playbook, what he learned from Kansas City, or does he have his own ideas, right? Because Fields is the quarterback in place right now. There's not enough weapons around him. The defense is aging but still effective at times. So we just want to know exactly what his philosophy is going to be. Is it what he learned in Kansas City, or does he have his own ideas? I guess that's still to be determined, right?
Yeah, and I think it is, and I think that's always a wild card. You know, a guy can be around all the success, you know, you can possibly put him, but is he picking up on what the important parts are? And listen, let's not kid ourselves. Opportunity's part of it as well. You know, if Fields is there, it's a great spot. But we watched Chris Ballard leave here, you know, about the time Brett Veach was getting the general manager's job and go to the Colts, and it looked like a dream scenario. He was inheriting Andrew Luck, had cap room, had plenty of picks. And he's really done a very good job in Indianapolis with everything except for Andrew Luck retired. And they've gone through Phillip Rivers. They've gone through, Carson Wentz now. And, you know, getting that quarterback spot right, like the Colts roster is a really good one. But if you don't play well at the quarterback position, it's just so hard to consistently get into the postseason. I think even harder now than when Andy Reid was doing it with Alex Smith, because Alex Smith was a good quarterback. He wasn't a great quarterback. And so that's why it's important to then get the second thing right. That's the coach. And I think it needs to be an offensive coach. I know that may not be what Bears fans want to hear, because come off an offensive coach, so people usually crave what they haven't had. But I think the reality is you need a quarterback-coach marriage. And they need to love each other, and it needs to work, and you need to keep it together. And I think that's really hard to do when you have a defensive coach, because if the offensive coordinator is successful, he's gone. And then you're on to the next one, and then you run the risk of upsetting the quarterback. So, you know, they've got to make sure they got the quarterback right. And I think that'll be one of the first things. And then if they've got it right, make sure he's happy. And Poles is going to go along with doing that by making the right coaching hire.
Soren Petro from Sports Radio 810 WHB. I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on with me in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cap'n Jay Hood, mornings 7 to 10 on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. If you're listening to us right now, on Tuesday, January 25th, on the 26th, we'll be on from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., breaking down the new general manager, Ryan Poles, of the Chicago Bears.